Here's Fesco, Dusty, and Mac with this week's edition of Start, Bench, Cut.
That's right. You hear the sounder. Start, Bench, Cut, brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow. Get in the know with Jay's Southland Tow. It's all football today, baby. It's all football tomorrow. It's all football Thursday. And you better believe it's all Chiefs on Friday. Sorry. Welcome to it.
Woo.
Welcome to the real world.
I don't think anybody's complaining about that. We've been waiting all season long, baby.
Somebody asked on the text line, is it fixed? Yes, for now. The boss came in, fixed it. So we'll see how long it stays up. It'll probably get, you know, shut down again tomorrow morning. But we start off number one challenge for the Chiefs this year. Start, Bench, Cut them. Bills, Bengals, Ravens.
I'm going to start the Bills. I think they're the number one team right now competing with the Chiefs. I'm going to bench Baltimore, and then I'm going to cut Cincinnati. Jury's still out on that defense, man. I got to see that defense in action before I'm willing to say that Joe Burrow can carry his team like Patrick Mahomes did when his defense stunk out loud.
Did you not see that All-American stud, All-Pro defensive tackle they got over the weekend in Mike Pinnell?
He's helping the practice squad.
How long until he takes a shot as a Cincinnati Bengal at the Kansas City Chiefs? We're going to find out how quickly he's no longer a fan of the Chiefs Kingdom.
Don't blame him. They let him go, man. You got to move on. I don't give a rip that he does that. He should be doing that. They told him he was no good anymore.
Drew is pumped.
It's a nice sign.
I feel like that doesn't fit the Fesco narrative. I don't believe that. Because when somebody, like, that he does, he should be mad that he doesn't care if he says something bad.
He should be mad.
Okay. I'll just stop talking then.
Well, no, finish your subject. I mean, the guy got cut. Why should he have love for the Chiefs?
It's not what I said. So we'll go here. Bills, Cincy, Baltimore. Mac, who you start, bench, cut?
I will start Baltimore because of the roster. I'll bench the Bills really close, really close. Could go either way. And then Cincy, get him out of here. Not close.
Yeah, I'm going to start Cincinnati. They got the MVP quarterback this year. They've got the best wide receiver in the game. They got hunger. They got desire. They played all their starters in the preseason. They're ready to go. I'm going to bench Baltimore. I think they have an electric defense. I think they have one of the most talented quarterbacks we've ever seen play the position. When you look at arm, leg, speed, talent, vision, they're there. I think this is the year that the Bills take a step back. I don't know why I'm saying that. I don't know if I actually believe myself saying that. I know that Josh Allen is there. But again, like, offensively, yeah, Cook's their running back. They're bringing back Khalil Shakir, obviously a good wide receiver for them as well. And
Keon Coleman, they're excited. Coleman's second year. Yeah.
We'll see if that happens.
We'll see.
Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox, neither one really have lived up to their expectations.
No.
We are moving more and more into those guys' career where they were supposed to be that sort of wave of the NFL future where you have a tight end as a big option. We've seen them get drafted big in the past. But give me Cincinnati. Give me Baltimore, and then give me the Bills and start bench cut. We move on to the AFC West quarterbacks in this league. I know they could all get cut if you're really into it, but Herbert, Geno, Bo Nix, who are your three, and then start bench cut in that order of fear or that you like the most in this division?
Starting Nix, I don't know what to do with the other two.
I'm going to start Herbert. I'm going to bench Geno, and I'm going to cut Bo Nix.
I think I'm going to bench Geno, too, and cut Herbert.
Okay.
Yeah.
So exact opposite orders for us.
I'm going to cut Bo Nix because of a sophomore slump. I haven't seen it yet. If he proves me wrong, I'll apologize.
Yeah, exactly.
But until he shows me that he can do it the next year, then we'll see what happens. I'm going to start Justin Herbert because I've seen enough of it in the regular season.
Do you feel that way about Jaden Daniels too?
Yeah, I do. I think Jaden Daniels needs to show me some of that stuff.
Who is the other sophomore quarterbacks we got? Because it is a big year for those,
Penix, guys.
Is Penix considered a sophomore?
I mean, they put the trust in his hand in week eight.
Yeah.
Started like 4, 5, 6 games. Yeah.
I think that I think he has a longer leash, makes sense. I don't know how that makes sense in a leash that hasn't really existed. But yeah, Jaden Daniels. Because look, C.J. Stroud humbled me in this sort of thing. C.J. Stroud came out as a rookie. Mm-hmm. He had one of the best rookie years we've ever seen. And then the very next year, it was like kind of fell off a little bit, kind of took a step back. Now, again, he lost Tank Dell in that Chiefs game, which was a gruesome injury. Still has Nico Collins this year. Christian Kirk, a deep sleeper in fantasy football drafts. If you need a guy that's like a second wide receiver option, he's a sleeper. But I have questions about Bo Nix. I have questions about Daniels. I have questions about
Caleb Williams
as well. Talk about a guy that's got a big sophomore slate coming up for himself.
A lot of guys. Yep.
Could you make the case, though, it is his rookie year all over again?
With how many head coaches and offensive coordinators?
I mean, it's third offensive coordinator, third head coach, third system in 3 years.
No doubt. But yeah, I think I would start Herbert. I would bench Geno and cut Bo Nix because I've seen these guys in the league before. Now, again, Geno's in Vegas with Pete Carroll in a new offense, in a new system, but apparently he flips off fans, and it's kind of cool when he did that.
Awesome.
We go on to rookies this year. Start, bench, cut, Cam Ward, Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter.
I'm going to start Abdul Carter. Easier to have an impact as a defensive player than it is as an offensive player because you're relying on somebody else to get you the football and do all that kind of stuff. So I'll start Carter. I will bench Hunter, then I'll cut Ward because, I mean, you know, Hunter's going to play both ways. And so Ward doesn't have a lot of buzz around him, even though I think he's going to be good. I saw somebody pick Tennessee to win the division this year.
There we go.
Oh, wait, it was the AI robot on Good Morning Football. That's who picked him to win the division.
I think Dustman's had some Titans, some hot Titans takes. I don't know if you picked him to win, but
right,
you're up there.
Yeah, they're my winner of the South.
Okay, they are. Okay.
Yeah, Jags and Cohen, I don't know yet, but I trust that he can do it with Trevor Lawrence. He was like the sleeper quarterback late in the rounds because – he changed Geno. He changed Baker Mayfield. I guess you could say that a little bit to give Liam Cohen some credit. Even though Bob calling Willy Wonka, which is probably one of the best clones I've ever seen in my life when he did the Duval thing.
Unbelievable.
I mean, I don't know what he was on. A whole lot of something. But, yeah, I think that the Tennessee Titans, right, it's a hot take. You got to make bold takes in the beginning of the season.
Sure.
Who can be that surprise team? Why not play a last place schedule? Why not have a talented kid coming out of Miami and wherever else he went and played college for all those years he was there? I think Cam Ward's got the full arsenal when it comes to the rookie quarterback. Not going to have a tough schedule. He's playing a terrible division.
Nobody's even noticing him playing. He's going to fly under the radar. And by like week 9, we'll notice the guy.
Well, you and I stood next to each other during the draft. And we're like, everybody knows that Cam Ward got drafted 1 overall. And you're like, no, they don't. And that's kind of the best blessing in disguise
you
can have.
Fantastic. I don't know that there's ever been a better situation as a quarterback to come into the NFL as the number one overall pick than what Cam Ward has. He has no expectation. He has no pressure. He has nobody even knowing that he's there. He doesn't even have a head coach. I don't even know who that guy is. And like this guy's got carte blanche to just go out there and actually do something that we don't give athletes the opportunity to do. Learn. Get better. Fail miserably, maybe. Yep. Learn from your failure. See what he can do. Like Cam Ward, man, what a great way to enter into the NFL. Zero pressure at all on this guy.
And maybe I'm wrong with this, but I don't think there was a whole lot of pressure on Daniels last year getting the Heisman trophy. He won the Heisman, got drafted by Washington, and it was like Caleb Williams. And then you created your own, right? The Hail Mary kind of put him up there. Like that was like the play where it was like, this guy might actually be pretty good. And then you started looking at the numbers. Cam Ward could do the same exact thing. Who had Washington being where they were at last year with a rookie quarterback? Now, again, more pieces around him with McLaurin and you know, their options they had in that offensive system with Brian Robinson Jr., Austin Eckler as well. But now Cam Ward, right? Cal Ridley's out there.
It's a bad division.
Terrible division.
But you know, just looking at the opportunities that he has in front of him, you know, you were talking about Washington. Nobody's picking them this year. There is going to be a team that nobody's talking about that if I say the name right now, you'll laugh at me, and then they'll end up being in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, well, you knew that was going to happen. Like, somebody picked the Giants to make it into the postseason. I don't know that I'm ready to go to that
schedule's
length
too
yet.
Hard.
The schedule is very hard for the Giants.
It's the one thing.
But they're very intriguing. They are very intriguing to be that pick. You know, Tennessee could potentially be that pick, kind of an intriguing pick in a weak division. That's kind of what you have to look at. Like, yeah, Washington
Panthers,
may take a step back. Philadelphia, for all intents and purposes, could take a step back. We'll learn more about Nick Sirianni over the next year than we will about any player on the Philadelphia Eagles team based on how they come out. You know, you look around this division right now, the worst team is arguably the Raiders. They have a Hall of Fame Super Bowl winning head coach on their sidelines right now. Who knows what could potentially happen there? I mean, we've seen stranger things happen in this league. There is a team right now who we will all roll our eyes at and laugh at that somehow will end up in the playoffs because that's the way the league works every damn year.
We'll squeeze two more in here real quick. Location football, since the Chiefs play in Brazil, start, bench, cut, Brazil, London, Germany.
I'm going to start London because I've been there. Germany second because I'd like to go there, and Brazil because I've never thought about going there.
Yeah, same.
I think I go Germany, London, Brazil.
Brazil. Yeah, that's fair.
Not a whole lot of interest to go to Brazil, but Germany and London would be amazing. And then last, we go to surprise team in the AFC. Pats, Jags, Pittsburgh.
Cut Pittsburgh, bench Jags, start the Patriots.
Surprise in a good way or a bad way?
Well, in a good way.
In a good way?
Yeah.
Then I'll start Pittsburgh or start the Patriots, bench Pittsburgh, cut the Jags.
Okay.
Okay.
Fair enough.
That is Start Bench Cut, brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow. Get in the know with Jay's Southland Tow. We'll review what was this weekend of college sports, all the stories, because there were more than you think. Plus, there's a big one on Saturday with Mizzou and KU, and the best bet for the Chiefs this year here on 96.5 The Fan, your own for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
In the 9 o'clock hour on a Tuesday here on 96.5 The Fan. Football week is officially here. You've made it, everybody. You've survived. You've gotten to the actual season. I would like to know on the text line what your plans are for Friday, because this is an interesting game. Like, not very often do you get a Friday night game for your Kansas City Chiefs.
I think it's very different for a lot of people.
I was going to say, because, like, I know there's high school sports going on this weekend. I know that there's a lot of people out there that have kids, and family reigns supreme over everything. I get that. But I sent out a text the other night. I was like talking to some fellas. I'm like, what are we doing for the game Friday? You know, I'm thinking about doing some ribs on the Traeger, cook a little wings, get excited for it. And every single response was, I would, but taking the son to the Royals game. Okay. I would, but I got sports. I would, but I'm with family. I would, but we have plans with the in-laws. I'm like, so, like,
this is why you don't do Friday night NFL games. Okay. And this is why I've said for years, it's a stupid thing for the NFL to do a Friday night game. And they've done a nice job of keeping it at this one game, you know, now 2 years in a row. So, you know, it's going to be a thing moving forward. Sure. It's always going to be that way, but they've always done such a great job of not interfering with the high school football on Friday night. And I'm to the point now where my daughter's only a freshman as a cheerleader, so she's not cheering varsity. So if she's not cheering, I'm not going. I'm not into that kind of stuff. But if she was cheering, I would absolutely 100% be at that game. I was talking to Ralph over the weekend. You know, Roman's starting his senior year. How big was Roman over the weekend? My God.
Did you hear about my surprise? I went up to him and was like, you're what, like 22, 20? He goes, dude, I'm 17. I'm like, oh, my God.
Right. Roman. Yeah. He's got 9 offers out there right now.
He looks like a Roman.
Yeah.
That dude had bigger legs and more hair on his entire body than I had at 38 years old.
I mean, yeah, Roman is huge, and we'll go somewhere
Monster.
And play tight
he's
end.
Tight end yeah.
He's the best tight end in the city. Roman Miller out at Bayshore. And so Ralph was like, you know, years ago I would have been all upset. He goes, I'm not going to be upset. My kid's playing football. And that's the way you have to look at it right now. I'll be honest with you. I don't know how you DVR a game on YouTube. I mean, so I don't know if they put that up there for people.
I think you just pause it.
Is that all you do? Are you being serious about that?
So I think you just pause it, and then hopefully it doesn't, like, go off. But then you can also just, like, hurry up and go.
You can rewind it all the way. Like, will they put it up, like?
Or you can DVR it on your local channel.
Yeah, on your local. But what if you don't have a DVR hooked up to your antenna or something like that?
So I feel like there's a lot of guys out there that'll have the one ear pod in. And then they'll have, they'll have the phone down there, be watching and looking. Or maybe you just, you know, love your family a little bit more than you love the Chiefs Kingdom. And you're like, we'll watch it when we get home together.
Together. But again, with the days of you know, DVR, like, right. You know, the way people get things now, it's like, do you have the ability to do that? Are you hooking up the old school VCR to kind of watch this
A lot
thing?
Of silent modes will be on cell phones on Friday night if you're out
and,
game.
And there will be that. And don't be that guy if you're a out Richard? On Friday yelling the score. Because they're like, I know when I was a kid, you know, we used to do family things sometimes on Sunday and record the Giant game. And I remember it was always when we would drive home, the radio was off. Nobody said anything. You try to do what you had to do. Nobody wanted to know the score of the game and you know whatnot. And if you could get home before anybody told you the score, it was awesome. Right now it's a lot harder. Everybody's got their phones connected with them. And you do have Richards out there that will yell out the score at these high school games. Oh my God. And there's nothing going on the field. You know, some guy's watching the game. Don't be that guy. You know, let people kind of enjoy it at their leisure when they're going to go home and watch the thing.
Yeah.
But the Friday night, man, it's a tough night. It's a big family night. It's a big high school sport night. It's not a real big TV night, but the NFL trumps everything. I'm interested to see. I don't remember what they did last year. I don't think it was that big a number last year on that Friday night game. In fact, I don't even really remember watching that Friday night game last year because we had other things going on. We're lucky we don't have something this Friday. But, I mean, I think it's a terrible night overall for football because everybody's doing something else other than watching TV on Friday night.
Jay Binkley is headed into the text line as well. If you aren't watching the Chiefs on Friday night, you're a casual. You should be canceling any sports events, weddings, funerals, etc.
Then I guess call everybody a casual fan because that's what most fans are. Their kids come first. Their family comes first. Everything else is, you know, extra. Once you got all your family obligations taken care of and you're with your kids and you're doing that, that's what you got to do. So there will be a bunch of high school stadiums, you know, all over the country that are going to be crowded. I'm really surprised that the NFL is doing this, you know, with the high school stuff. But again, I'm not surprised because it's a check in the pocket of the NFL.
Right. So yeah, somebody says, as a 29-year-old single man with no kids, I'll be at my house watching the Chiefs with my single buddies. One of the perks of being unattractive to every woman I've ever met.
Wow, man, don't be so hard on yourself for that.
Not true. I didn't mean to text into the text line. I just want to see if it worked.
Jeez,
except I'm about 9 years older. But I am excited though to kind of see what people are doing. Like somebody's kind of throwing in the Taylor Swift mix. They said their wife's making pizza with the sourdough crust, and all the friends and family are coming over to watch. That's pretty cool.
That's
to kind
fun.
Of tie all that in. I thought maybe some people, because I've always thought about doing this. And I know this sounds weird. Like whoever you're playing, theme your menu around that.
A lot of tailgates do that. Yeah.
So like this week would be Brazilian food, right? Like I don't really know how much Brazilian food I have knowledge with, but that'd be kind of a fun little mix to do. Or maybe you do something like LA's famous for or whatever.
Fish tacos.
Hell yeah, dude. Good at Twisted Fresh.
Yeah. You get those. Yeah. But I mean, like I'm thinking like what LA, like, it's gotta be the fish taco.
Like, what's worse for you? Friday night, Sunday night, or Monday night football?
Monday night football sucks.
Yeah,
I hate Monday night football. By the time Monday rolls around, I'm done. Like I'm expired. You know, I've seen Thursday night football. You've done some Friday football. If you go into the high school, you've got Saturday with college. You got Sunday night. Yeah. By the time Monday rolls around, I'm like, all right, I'm exhausted.
Pinkley continues to chime in.
Oh,
I don't know, guys. Wife's 8.5 months pregnant. Ultrasound Thursday, and may have a baby then. May have to miss that. It's only our second kid anyway.
Yeah, it's fine. You can miss the second one. It's not that big a deal.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, but Friday Night Lights, getting excited about that as well as all the high school teams
Can't
are getting
wait.
Ready to. Oh man, you'll have to come down sometime. Go walk
I
up to Lee
it.
Summit High School, watch Lee Summit versus Lee Summit North, the battle.
I love high
those
school
two
football,
guys.
Man.
Those two teams can have.
I'm gonna try and go catch
Ralph's on Roman.
Yeah, Ralph's on Roman. Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Like, want to catch Roman this year.
You know, nobody's going to catch Roman. He's going to be running all over the place, man.
Yes, like, yes.
I know. Seriously, that dude is going to just destroy these teams. The Basher-Tongi game is like the 10th of October, and
yes.
That's the big rivalry game.
Because
Roman used to play over there at Tongi, and then they, you know, he's playing at Basher because he was like done with those guys.
I like this one. We might project the game on our back porch and have the whole family watch. My daughters are going to help me smoke ribs prior to the game. Going to be a fun day. And then
awesome.
Some people, as soon as they get off work at 4 o'clock, headed straight to the bar. Maloney's will be packed on Friday. Get there early.
Hell yeah.
Outside vibes. I don't know what the weather's supposed to be.
I think
Friday.
It's supposed to be
rainy
during the day.
Okay.
Yes.
I know Wednesday there's a chance for some rain throughout
week,
the afternoon.
It's just
summer's gone, dude.
Like, summer
fall
left.
Came in with a, like, they kicked the door down like a SWAT team.
Yeah, it really, like, I was talking to Emily and I said, what's the extended forecast? Like, are we getting hot again? And she looks at it and she goes, no, the next 90 days, it doesn't get over 80.
Friday, 76, 30% chance of showers. And then Sunday, 81, and then that's, 80s and 70s. I'm cool with that.
I mean, that's fine. If this is the rest of the way and we never get, like, that lingering summer at the end of September, beginning of October,
yes.
It's 100 again.
Love that.
I'm fine with that.
Yes.
Winter's supposed to be mild and dry here this year. I looked at the Farmer's Almanac yesterday just to kind of get a feel of what
yes.
we were getting ready. Well, it's been it has been a cooler summer, I feel like,
I think
right?
So.
Like, we've had those hot spells, but overall, I mean, like, this is ridiculously cool for this time of year.
Yeah. Somebody says, having NFL Friday night is ridiculous. It's high school football. Let them have their day. NFL's
yeah.
becoming too much. Won't be surprised when people's start losing interest.
There's a lot of people. Look at that number last year, if you could, back at how many people watched that Friday night. It was Eagles, and it was Green Bay, and it was in Brazil, and it was the same type of thing. And I don't think it drew a great number, if I'm mistaken, you know, because of being on Friday night. But that text is not wrong, right? Like that text is right, you know, but we always seemingly say that about the NFL, and yet they continue to dominate.
Right.
No matter when they play, where they play, what streaming service it's on, eventually you think it's going to get to a point where it doesn't work anymore, but they're still knocking it out of the ballpark.
Yeah, they peaked at 15.3. They averaged 14.2, which isn't For the NFL, that's not usually their number, right?
That's a low number for the NFL. That's a low number. Look at what the Thursday night Chiefs game did the night before. Because I want to say, and again, I'm just...
Was that the prime game with the Chargers?
That, who did they open? No, it was the foot game with Likely last year.
Oh, at
the
end
of
the
back
Ravens.
Of the end zone. Yeah,
that was huge.
Right? So I want to say 25 million watched that game versus the Friday night game.
28.9.
Okay, yeah. So double.
Yeah. Over double.
Over, yep. Over double. Mm. That's what Friday night
does
to
you.
That
was the average.
You.
They peaked at 33.
But that's what I think. That's what I don't want to hear. YouTube, everybody's got it's free. Okay,
you don't have to have
a YouTube subscription to anything. You just go to YouTube.com and you can play it for free.
Will it crash?
I'm going to say no.
Okay,
I know that's the popular take is yes. I'm going to say no.
The podcast crashed. The Jake Paul Mike Tyson's fight crashed.
Everything they've had has been crashed. Yeah,
and this is huge.
That was Netflix, right? Jake Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That wasn't YouTube, but the podcast crashed.
Yeah.
We shall see. But something that didn't crash, well, maybe a little bit, was the college football weekend. Maybe a little underwhelming for you guys. Not as
There were great storylines. I didn't think the games were great, but I think there are amazing storylines from week one. Alabama, Texas, Bill, like Notre Dame losing to Florida State. I think there's a lot of really good storylines. The games themselves were not good, but by God, we got a lot of great storylines to follow in college sports this year.
And what I thought was also interesting about college football this weekend is a lot of the storylines that were before the game were the same storylines after the game, right? Bill Belichick going to Chapel Hill, being North Carolina. Boom. Today, everybody and anywhere on sports radio is talking about, did he do the right thing? Is he the right coach? Nick Saban, no longer in Alabama. Can they survive? Boom. Here we are again today. You look at what Arch Manning's story was. Can he live up to the hype? This is a huge, huge game for your first ever start in college football, and it's against Ohio State in the Horseshoe, the defending national title. Arch Manning, still a topic the next day. And then you go from such a high peak of college football because they have no competition, right? And then the next week is kind of like the fall down week. Now, I know we still have Michigan and Oklahoma this Saturday, and then the big one at 2:30.
That's a big game. Michigan and Oklahoma, that's a fun game.
Which is kind of a debate, which I know the guys that are coming up behind us, Cody and Gold, they're kind of upset that, like, how did college football not go to Columbia for the Chiefs, for the KUMU game, right? But they're going to go to Michigan, Oklahoma.
Well,
Big Ten, SEC.
Do the say it out loud test.
Right. Now, is where I think we get lost within the localness, is that we know this is a huge game, but these are two unranked teams playing against each other.
Haven't played in over a decade.
But that's part of the sell, right? Like, this was nostalgia. This is, because as soon as Sunday hit, all you were seeing was like Mizzou Twitter, KU Twitter going back and forth, back and forth. And then all of a sudden Sunday or Saturday at 2:30, we'll get that game. But will we just be the only ones that are locked into it or outside of this? Will there be that? Well, technically, because like how excited do you get for Duke, North Carolina outside of, you know, Charlotte or out of the Carolina States? How big is that? And it's huge, right? Because they're big programs. But I am excited for that game. That's kind of one of the two or three games that are big this Saturday.
It's a rivalry game for us, and it's bitter for us, but outside the area, I mean, it's a game that hasn't been played in a very long time, and you've got a name brand in Michigan going to a name brand for now in Oklahoma. Sorry, Kurt Nelson, you may need a new coach too, but like that's why College Game Day is going to be there. I wouldn't even think twice about Michigan, Oklahoma's on the ledger. Hell yeah, that's where we're going. We're not going to think twice about it. Now, I think the SEC Network's bringing their whole shebang to Columbia, and they're going to be there because that's, I think the game is on the SEC Network, if I'm not mistaken, because I know I saw a lot of SEC Network pregame shows and all kinds of stuff are going to be down, you know, in Columbia for this. But, you know, this rivalry, while it's big for us, has never really been a huge national rivalry because neither team has been that good. I mean, it's been a lot of 2-7s over the years playing each other. And for locally, it's huge and it's awful. And I hate Missouri and Missouri hates Kansas and rightfully so. Let's go. But outside the area, it just doesn't ring a whole lot. But Oklahoma, Michigan, it's not a rivalry, but it's two premier programs.
That KUMU game will be on ESPN2 at 2:30 this Saturday. Should be a fun one to watch because it is the rivalry that is local here.
And the SEC Network will be at the game
for the pregame show.
Yes, gotcha. They will be live there in Columbia.
You move on to the NFL, and we talk about the best bet for the Chiefs this year. You found this article from Yahoo Sports about some of the sports previews and betting odds for this thing. And the one you like is the one guy that I've been kind of high up on this offseason, which is Xavier Worthy, because six games without Rashee Rice, the first thing a lot of people say, oh, well, the Travis Kelce uptick will be there for the first 6 weeks. Maybe it's not Travis Kelce. Maybe it's Xavier Worthy.
Yeah, I think it can be. And you know, 900.5 receiving yards for Xavier Worthy. I love the over on that one. Mm-hmm. I just think he's going to be that guy that's going to get yards in bunches, right? And you have the first six games of the year to really pad your stats if you're Xavier Worthy, because you're going to be, from the wide receiver position anyway, that number one option for Patrick Mahomes. The jury's still out on Hollywood Brown. I mean, I don't like what Andy's saying about him. And going, if it's a rookie, we probably got a problem here, but he's an old guy, so we'll figure it out. And, you know, that whole thing. And then, you know, Rashee Rice being out for the 6 weeks that he's out. So, I love the Worthy over 900.5 receiving yards. I think he's going to do that, and I think he's going to be well on his way in the first 6 weeks of the season, where you start to see, okay, he's got like 450 yards after those first 6 weeks. He's well on his way, because that's a third of the season at that point in time.
900.5 divided by 17 is 52.9, so 53 yards a game.
Yeah, that's not
and
a lot.
I mean, he could have that in a half with what he is capable of doing in the second set of the season.
He could have that on the first play of the season, first and 10 from the 25, up over the top, touchdown, 75 yards.
And then you can go back to your life, because you'll know that game is over. Because that's what we'll get the text from Bob. Game's over.
Mm-hmm. Go about your Friday night. go east.
I do like the bet that I saw on DraftKings this year, which is Patrick Mahomes' yard total. 4,050. That's his over-under on yards. I think he absolutely smashes that. I think we're looking at a year with Patrick Mahomes. It could be an MVP sort of year. This was on DraftKings, and 4,050 yards at -110. I love that bet for Patrick Mahomes. I think we could see him get back to those sort of ways because of what you had mentioned with Rashee Rice being suspended, another guy stepping up, but then you get Rashee Rice back in week 7 against those Raiders. You move the needle that way. You get Xavier Worthy, like you had mentioned, could have a big year. If Xavier Worthy has 900 plus yards, you got to think he can find 3,000 somewhere else.
Well, I would imagine. Yeah, I think so too. And I think Travis is going to have a big say and how many yards he gets passing this year. But, you know, for Patrick Mahomes, I mean, if he goes over 4,000 yards, throws 25 touchdowns, 30 touchdowns maybe, and they're 15-2, is that going to be enough? Or are people going to look at that and go, okay, Patrick Mahomes did just what he had to do, or will it still not be enough with Patrick Mahomes?
Depends on who you ask, I think, is the question there, because some people would say, yeah, 4,035 touchdowns, that's a hell of a year.
Hell yeah, it is.
But if he loses in the playoffs, he's no longer the best quarterback because somebody beat him in
that's
the playoffs.
Right. So if he wins in the playoffs, wins the Super Bowl, but doesn't pass, then he's not good enough. Like, they just spin the narrative any way they can. If he goes out there and has 4,500 yards, let's say 35 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, and he doesn't get the MVP, can we stop worrying about the MVP as an award then at that point in time, especially if they're 15-2 and they win the division again? Because that would tell me that they're just giving it to randos at that point in time. If he has 4,500 yards and 35 to 40 touchdowns, Patrick Mahomes should be the MVP of this thing.
Mac, you have a bet that you like this year for a futures bet on the Kansas City Chiefs roster.
Yes, sir, I do. I'll go a different direction. I'll go on the defensive side, and Chris Jones over 7.75 sacks. So really, you need him to get 8 sacks. That's the over there for Chris Jones. -108. He's had that 3 of the last 4 seasons. He's had that in 5 total seasons of his 9. One year that he didn't, it was 7.5 right under that. But, I mean, this is a guy who led the league in pressures last year. He just wasn't able to get home. We know the reasons for that. George Karlaftis wasn't necessarily what we wanted as far as wreaking havoc. Aminihou had injuries. And the rest of that depth in the defensive line was one of the issues with the roster that has been, as far as we know, rectified with the draft and with some acquisitions there in this offseason. So I think Chris Jones, he's still the best player at his position. He's one of the best players on the defensive side of the National Football League. And this guy's getting double digits. He's breaking this 7.75 by over 1.
Based on what you just said there, shouldn't we all be like saying, yeah, it was the right move for Pinnell to be cut based on all the young guys that they brought in and the lack of pressure that they got? Like last year, like reading the tea leaves now, I'm like, oh, it kind of makes sense, you know, for Pinnell.
Yeah, it makes sense, of course. Like, if it's always hindsight 2020, but
yes,
it is weird the way that the last few months transpired, and then now he's gone. Derek Nottie's back. It is still weird, but it's fine.
Yeah.
Speaking of still weird,
we're all looking forward to it. The travel, the excitement of being the only game, NFL game, Friday night, and will be viewed worldwide. The staff has made it so good, you know, I'm just really broken it down Barney style for us, that gives you the feeling of excitement and travel and go play the opener and on a huge stage.
So that is the head man in charge over there in Los Angeles, Jim Harbaugh. Is this a bigger year for Harbaugh or Sean Payton?
Harbaugh, I think, because he's got one more year on Sean Payton, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's got this all-world quarterback that's supposed to be the best, and he's been anything but. So, no, I think it's Harbaugh. I do. I think Jim Harbaugh is probably the guy that needs to go out there and take that next step.
Because do you think people are glazing the Chargers or Denver more in the offseason? Because a lot of people think Denver has the best defense in football. Bo Nix could be, you know, establishing himself as I don't know if I want to say premier starter, but a guy that I think that is perfect for their system. Don't turn it over, manage the game, use what you have, and we'll be fine. Whereas like the Chargers, it seems every year this could be the team. Herbert's there. He's established himself as what he is in the league.
Well, I think it's the NFL pushing that narrative for LA. And I felt that since they've moved there. That, you know, we've been on this LA hype train, so to speak, since the Chargers moved into that new stadium. Like, they need to make it work in LA. And I don't know that it is working in LA, quite honestly, right? It's a great place to go for a visitor. I don't know if the Chargers have ever taken full hold of that league. So I think the NFL is making sure they do everything in their power to push the Chargers kind of as that brand and to try to get them to take off. But I think right now, quite honestly, I think the Broncos are in a better position than the Chargers are right now. I kind of like the understatedness of Bo Nix. Like, I feel like with Justin Herbert, everybody expects him to go out there and win the Super Bowl when he's yet to win a playoff game. And for Bo Nix, I think the expectation is just go play well enough for your team to have an opportunity to win. And he did that all of last year. So I think there's a lot of pressure, I would say, on LA. But again, there's nobody in LA that cares. So who knows?
Would you say there's zero pressure for Pete Carroll?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's house money.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's already...
Good Vegas reference.
Yeah, I think he's... I mean, thank you. I think he's good for an extra couple of wins. And what they win? 4 or 5 games? So I think they'll win 6 or 7. Yeah. If they're exciting, if they're spicy, if they're in games, and if they have energy, and they have unity, and they have chemistry, which they're going to have...
Well, if they look like adults,
that,
too,
yes,
though.
They'll look like a football team. Yeah. They will look like an organized team.
Yeah, because last year they had the Chiefs beat and then fumbled the snap.
So bad. That was the one game they really should have lost.
So to the question I gave Bob, do you think there's more pressure on Harbaugh or Payton this year?
It's really close. I would go Sean Payton because this dude has not shut up about Bo Nix. He hasn't shut up about this team, this offense. He's the one giving bulleted board material. Harbaugh is saying nonsense in the way that we can't actually make sense of it. Like, I don't know if it's a human sentence, but he's not talking ish about this team or about this division. Sean Payton thinks Bo Nix is the second coming, and that means the pressure has gone up for Bo Nix and Sean Payton. And even if Bo Nix is just good, it's not going to be what Sean Payton said. Sean Payton has set the bar unattainably high for Bo Nix.
Yeah,
legitimately.
You're right. He's probably not doing it, because I was going to ask you this. If Bo Nix goes out there and is identical to what he was a season ago, what are we saying about Bo Nix?
The narrative will be fail.
Really?
I think so.
Okay.
Because of what Sean Payton's done. Because he's told us he's the next Patrick Mahomes. He's the best quarterback he's ever had. Like, all these sorts of things. It's like...
He ought to slow his roll on that one. He had a pretty damn good quarterback in New Orleans.
I was going to say, he's not bad. He's an all-timer.
Yeah.
Hall of Famer.
But Bo Nix could be that guy.
He really could
be that guy. And, you know, a lot of it is our preconceived notions and biases. Like, I'm looking at Bo Nix going, yeah, I think he can be pretty good. You're looking at him going, nah, I don't think he can. Because we have those preconceived notions, which is fine. That's life, right? It happens. You have to work harder to change somebody's first impression of you. Yep. That's why they say a first impression is always something that is important and matters, especially in sports. Because everybody's first impression, guys, of Justin Herbert was him coming in off the bench because some doc shot some guy with the needle in the rib and missed. And so he got the opportunity to play and played great in his first game against the Chiefs. And since that game, that guy's been the second coming and hasn't done anything. But yet he's still up there because that was the first impression everybody had. He went toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes, like watching a rum-dum from the minors come up and cut you apart, you know?
Coming up on the other side, we get to the brioche of the weekend here on 96.5 The Fan. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty with Mac Morey here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
What's up, Kansas City? This is Jonathan India here, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
say here as we wrap up the show of Fesco and Dusty with Mac Morey with you. The Royals in action tonight here in Kansas City. The game starts at 6:40. That means Josh Ferner's On Deck show starts at 5:30. Royals and Angels, Caglione, Carter Jensen making their way to the roster for this push for the Royals. Again, there's a lot of you that are still in doubt, but 2.5 games out. Stan corrected thanks to the text line. Texas ended up winning last night in the 10th, but Seattle loses and Cleveland loses. You are 2.5 games out of that final spot. For those of you that missed it, Bill Belichick loses in his debut with Carolina. Alabama loses. LSU looks like they're going to be Ohio State. They beat Arch Manning in Texas as well. Don't know if you saw the postgame press conference with Bill Belichick. Looks like Jordan Hudson decorated the entire sitting with all these balloons and all this sort of stuff. I didn't know if that's how they do it.
Did she really leave at halftime, or was that a joke?
I think that was a joke.
Okay.
I think that
because I would have.
It was kind of like the joke that surfaced last night on the internet. They showed her and him on the sideline talking, and the quote just says, "Can I have $20 for the concession stand?" but it is the end of the show where we do our brioche of the weekend. Since you weren't here on Monday, Mac was here on Monday. He did the 10-2 show with Drew Nixon, who is a big Mike Pennell fan now, and he thinks that the college week two is going to be bigger.
Is he really? Or are you just Josh?
Dude, he literally screamed when the notification came. Yes! Yeah!
That's right.
Like, okay, 30.
They added him to the practice squad, first of all, right? Now, that doesn't mean anything. You could add him onto your active roster. And I like Mike Pennell.
Yes, he's fine.
But, I mean, I'm not losing sleep that the team got rid of him.
34-year-old nose tackle who plays 50% of the snaps.
And I wouldn't be getting that excited had they added him in. He's like a nice addition to your team.
Fine depth piece, yeah.
I think he's just, had Mike Pennell been a Bronco, he wouldn't have cared.
Exactly. He would not have.
And that's
known.
What it comes down to, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's all it is.
Yeah, so, you know, it is what it is. He is a Cincinnati Bengal, kind of the same way that, Orlando Brown Jr. is a Cincinnati Bengal.
Of course, as soon as
he became one, Chiefs hate came out of his mouth. Soon as Pennell gets there, we'll see to be continued there. But it is Brioche of the Weekend presented by Sheet Metal Workers Local Number 2. Vote for the high school football game of the week at PrepsKC.com. And each week, the Sheet Metal Workers, those nice, lovely people, will give $750 to the winning team's booster club. We'll announce the winning game every Friday morning.
Brioche of the weekend.
Big brioche guy.
Love that. Yeah. Good take.
It's funny. I was over at Shawnee Mission Northwest in their weight room yesterday working out, right? Not supposed to be there, I don't think, but shout out Shawnee Mission Northwest. And I'm looking around and I'm like, man, a $750 gift for their weight room could go a long, long way.
Hell yeah.
So each week, the Sheet Metal Workers are giving $750 to a booster club in the area. So make sure you're voting every week at PrepsKC.com. My brioche of the weekend, hanging out with everybody on Saturday. I thought that was outstanding.
It was so fun.
Had everybody over. The game wasn't much of anything. Not many people were paying attention to the game.
Secondary.
And that's why it was the perfect watch party. Like those are the perfect watch parties where the game is on. You got Binkley, who's dialed in, and everybody else just having a good time, having conversation, talking about whatever, enjoying the day, eating, drinking, just, you know, enjoying life. And so those are the fun watch parties that I like. I don't really remember much about when I went on in the game, and that's a good thing because we were all having conversation and having fun and laughing and just having a good afternoon. Sometimes it's not about the actual game. It's just about the stuff that goes along with the game.
The camaraderie.
That's right.
I'm going to take Lee Corso as my brioche of the weekend.
That's
he picks every single game on his last show of all time. He goes out a winner. He goes 6-for-6, picked all the right games, took everybody that he thought was going to win, and they actually did win. I think somewhere they said if you took all of his money line bets, it was like plus 680.
Yeah, it was insane. Yeah,
and you cashed in on Lee Corso's final.
Some guy got a plus 1900 on who worked for SI or something.
There was some crazy parlay using Lee's picks or something.
Yeah, but this was like a plus 1900. I think I saw, and the guy hit it, and it was out like very exciting
awesome.
For him, no question. But the Lee Corso stuff really was special, man.
It was great.
Herb Street again, tearjerker of a introduction to the college football, you know, setup, and then Lee Corso picks all his teams. And at the very end of the Ohio State game, or not the very end, at the beginning of the game, he goes down on the field. Obviously, he's down there. And they give him his original mascot head of Ohio State that he picked for the first time he'd ever done it.
Just fun.
And he gets to take that home, and that's his trophy for the rest of his life. So, brioche of the weekend, no shock and here for you from me, but it is gambling, and it is football, and it is money. Lee Corso goes out a winner.
It was great to see him go out. Obviously, we mentioned it could have been a little earlier, but that's not what matters this last weekend. Mm. It was just about celebrating him and a fantastic career. And one of the most historic sports figures of the last 25 years. So that was really cool to see him go out with a bang. For me, it was just hanging out with my brothers. Brothers mm-hmm. were in town for the weekend. It was great seeing them. It was great having them come over to your place, Bob, meet you guys and hang out with everyone. They loved everyone, getting to meet everyone. And yeah, playing disc golf.
How many boxes did Sean end up getting?
Yes, yes. He's got two boxes on the way.
Good.
Yes, he's very excited.
And then you went to the Royals game?
Went to the Royals game Saturday night, which was, I mean, it could have been better. You were there too.
Sick.
The weather was perfect. The game was awesome. Brothers hadn't been to a Royals game in a minute, so it was cool to kind of get to show them that. Hannah was there too. It was fantastic. Played games and board games and stuff at my mom's house Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
Just a good family-filled weekend. Lots of disc golf, lots of family and football.
And it was good weather, too.
You know? Great weather, yes.
Yeah, because then you sent me a Snapchat of the Royals game where everybody in your family, including your fiance, just flipped me off and told me to go F myself.
Jokes.
I know. Kind of fun. Sit there thinking, oh, and then I kept trying to figure out where you guys were.
Yeah,
I was
wondering
looking
if you,
around,
yeah.
And I was trying to piece the video together. I'm like, oh, even Hannah gave me the middle finger. That's great.
It's great, yeah.
That's fantastic. I'll give a shout out to Emily as well. She hooked up her family with some tickets,
Emily.
And my dad had a wonderful night.
Good.
And just trying to cherish you as much as I can. His
tradition,
life moves
man.
Along. Bobby Witt Jr., every time we go as a family, hits a home run. One time it was a walk-off,
really?
One time it was a walk-off grand slam. This time was a game-winning home run to center field. So anytime we need to go
That's
there
cool.
for a Bobby Witt Jr. home run, we can do that. There was a question on the internet, though, this weekend that you like to see. It's something about showering, how much money you can get for
it. I don't know. Whose is that?
Yeah,
you didn't see it. Okay, so yeah, there was a meme on the internet. It's a picture of SpongeBob. He's filthy, dirty, disgusting.
Yes.
And it says, how many days are you going to go? You get $100,000 every day you don't shower.
Until I'm dead.
Okay. I was just saying, like,
it's not that hard.
I'd probably...
Kramer said 10 days.
I think I'd go longer than 10 days.
I mean, who are you really showering for? Others, right?
Yeah, other people.
I'd work in that booth by myself.
Well, would you? Because it may not work.
That's true.
Well, that's a good point around this place. Nothing works.
Nothing works right now.
That's a good point. No, but let's assume that they did their job and fixed what was broken over mm-hmm. here. I got my ideas
ever.
Who may have done something. I would sit in that booth for the rest of the time. Yeah, I would not shower for the rest of my life. I'm getting $100,000 a day to not shower.
Yes.
Yeah. And you'd probably be single after about
my wife would be more than happy about that. We get $100,000 every day that you don't shower, fine.
Yeah, I'd probably a month. Because I do agree most of it's others, but I like to shower. It feels good.
I do.
Like
I take,
dirty
I take
sucks.
2 to 3 showers per day. One when I get up, one after I work out, right? And then
yep.
sometimes one before
At
bed
night.
Or whatever. If you go home and do some stuff or whatever, you're sweating, you shower. So it's not that I don't, I mean, I'm a 2 to 3 shower a day person, but if there's $100,000 on the docket, I mean.
Never again.
I think my OCD would kick in after about 2 weeks.
That's
so I have 14 days, I'd probably be like, all right, and then I'd be like, I made quite a bit of money
1.
Here.
1.4
like,
mil, let's
yeah,
go.
Yeah, let's just put this to the side.
Like, is it when you start to develop a sore or like you start to itch or like where do you draw that line where it's like, all right, it's time.
When it starts Ugh. To get gummy. Hey, here you go. Do something nice for somebody this week, today, tomorrow, sometime. Just do something nice. You never know. It could change their day, their week, their month, their year. It is simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay safe, stay kind, stay groovy. Coming up next, it's Cody, Golden, Drew from 10 to 2 here on 96.5 The Fan. We'll talk to you tomorrow.